From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled Barnabas, part of this series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled Afflictions, But No Broken Bones. The text is found in Psalm 34 and verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. This promise, by the context, is referred to the much afflicted righteous man. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He may suffer skin wounds and flesh wounds, but no great harm shall be done. Not a bone of him shall be broken. This is a great comfort to a tried child of God, and comfort which I dare accept. For up to this hour I have suffered no real damage from my many afflictions. I have neither lost faith, nor hope, nor love. Nay, so far from losing these bones of character, they have gained in strength and energy. I have more knowledge, more experience, more patience, more stability than I had before the trials came. Not even my joy has been destroyed. Many a bruise have I had by sickness, bereavement, depression, slander, and opposition. But the bruise has healed, and there has been no compound fracture of a bone, not even a simple one. The reason is not far to seek. If we trust in the Lord, He keeps all our bones, and if He keeps them, we may be sure that not one of them is broken. Come, my heart, do not sorrow. Thou art smarting, but there are no bones broken. Endure hardness, and bid defiance to fear.
The first Noah. To certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37 introduces us to one of the most attractive figures in the New Testament church, Barnabas. Called the son of consolation by the early Christians, Barnabas embodied many characteristics, both physical and internal, that made him a leader among believers of the time. According to the biblical narrative, Barnabas was a good man. He was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will show from the scripture record, Barnabas faded from prominence because of serious mistakes that cost him dearly. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will give an overview of the man, his ministry, his message, and his mistakes. Now, to introduce this message called Barnabas, here is Dr. Cairns.
Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. If you were with us last Sabbath morning, you'll know that we did accelerate somewhat, at least as to the, I'm not saying as to the length of sermon or the speed with which I covered it, but as to the length of scripture covered in one message, we covered most of Acts chapter 4. May seem that we're slowing up a little to come back to deal with two verses at the end of the chapter, but I was thinking, and I felt this was certainly the Lord's will for this morning, that as we read through the book of Acts, we'll come to various mentions of the name Barnabas. We're not going to have the opportunity later on to stop and consider every one of those in great detail. And I thought it would be well at this stage of our studies in Acts just to concentrate on these two verses and on a few other verses which are brought to our attention later in the book, to think on Barnabas, the son of consolation. Because when you get a picture of Barnabas in your mind, I think you have a portrait painted by the Holy Ghost of a very great and gracious man of God. And I would pray that as the Lord would open his word to us this morning, he may find us as Barnabases. And if he doesn't find us that way by grace already, that he'll make us to be that way pretty quickly. In coming to consider Barnabas, we are considering one of the most attractive personalities in all the Word of God. Not only attractive in personality, but it would seem that Barnabas was one of those almost unique people who's blessed with physical beauty as well as character beauty. That his external appearance matched his internal quality. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 12, we find that some of the people of Lycaonia, when they saw the miracle that Paul and Barnabas did, wanted to worship them. And when they thought they were gods, they called Paul Hermes, which was the name given to the spokesman of the gods, the heathen gods. But they called Barnabas, in our version, Jupiter, or as it is, Zeus. Now the figures of Zeus in the ancient world are uniform in this. Every one of them portrays him as being a very big, strong, manly, husky sort of character, marked by great physical attraction and beauty. And I don't think it was for nothing they called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, or the spokesman of the gods. Of course, the apostles wouldn't have their worship. But I think, nonetheless, we get a picture of Barnabas in our minds. A big man, a strong man, a man's man. I think, undoubtedly, a very handsome man. And yet a man who had such internal qualities that I feel you wouldn't be very long in his company until you would forget about the external attractiveness and you would be taken up entirely with the internal attractiveness. There's so much in Barnabas that I feel we would do well to emulate. And yet I must confess, when I read the life story of this man, there always appears to me to be a strain of sadness running through it. I can't help wondering if Barnabas, for all his outstanding greatness, wasn't one of those multitudes of Christians who, however well they start out, ultimately settle for God's second best. I want us to think of Barnabas this morning. And in studying this remarkable man, we're going to look at him in four headings and rather try to put what the Bible says about him in four neat compartments. It's very difficult to take a host of texts and put them into compartments. But we're going to think of Barnabas the man. And then we're going to think about his ministry, a very special ministry that the Lord gave to him. And then his message. And finally, his mistakes. Let's think then on the man. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 11, please. Acts chapter 11. We'll commence reading at verse 22. Let me sketch the background for you. Those who had been scattered abroad through the persecution following the death of Stephen in the city of Jerusalem went to many places, and they went as far as Antioch, preaching the word to the Jews. And in Antioch, there was a great revival through the preaching of the word. Now, there were no apostles involved in this, but the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. There may have been a deacon. We're not told at this stage if there was even a deacon there. You would say in modern parlance that this was largely a lay movement. There were not many ordained preachers, if any, in this great revival that took place in Antioch. Now when the tidings of this came to Jerusalem, we read verse 22, then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. I want you to notice the biography of Barnabas summed up in the 24th verse by the Holy Spirit himself. For he was a good man. That's his character. And then we read that he was full of the Holy Ghost. That's his consistency. And I'll have a word to say about that in a moment. And then there's a special reference to his credence, his belief, his faith in God. He was full of faith. Three statements about Barnabas then. First, we are brought to consider his character. He was first a good man. I think you'll find in our Bible reading this morning that he was a selfless man. And then again, when later on we find he went and he took second place to Paul in his missionary journeys, or after the confrontation with Elymas the sorcerer, Paul became the chief of the Barnabas and Paul evangelistic team. Barnabas, having started out as the senior partner, became second in that team. And yet, instead of getting on a high horse of pride and asserting himself, we find Barnabas quite happily, selflessly serving the Lord. He was a good man, for he was a selfless man. He was a good man, for you'll find he was a tireless man. When you read of the labors of Barnabas and Paul, and let me say, we so often zoom in upon Paul when we read this missionary journey. We so often think of what Paul did and where Paul went and the energy Paul expended. And of course, I'm not minimizing that. If there's one man in the New Testament whom I would hero worship, if I could use that term, it would be Paul the Apostle. So I'm not minimizing it. But remember, Barnabas was also there. And every ache that Paul felt, Barnabas usually felt it as well. Every mile that Paul traveled, Barnabas traveled it as well. He was a selfless man. He was a tireless man. And he was a fearless man. We think of him as the meek and quiet Barnabas, and he usually is. We think of him, as we'll emphasize in a moment, as the son of consolation. But he was also a man who, with Paul, waxed very bold in the face of the apostate Jews. He was a man who faced the mob who would want to stone them to death. He was the man who couldn't be put off witnessing and working and serving the Lord, even when his own life was endangered. He was a quiet man, but nonetheless, he was a fearless man. He was a good man. Now that's a tremendous statement. The word good, of course, means morally and ethically excellent. It speaks of that internal quality. But it is a word that has much more to it than that. The basic Greek word originally did not speak of moral excellence. It merely spoke of skillfulness. A person who was good at his job, in that sense. And then, of course, in the New Testament, it came to have the moral excellence attached to it. Now, I put them both together. And in that you'll see the reason why many commentators and scholars say that in the word here given to Barnabas by the Holy Ghost, there is the thought of a man who has no thought of self, who is sold out to God, who has a great burden for the church of God, who has a great love for the souls of men and women. You can wrap it all up and say he was good internally, made good by the grace of God, a holy man. He was good at his job. He was a man who was dedicated to the work. God says simply, he was a good man. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ has never had too many good men. Oh, sometimes we have evil men who are not particularly good men. Sometimes we have holy men, and yet they're not particularly skillful at the job that they ought to be at. But here we have a man who marries moral excellence with skillfulness and dedication to the work and determination in the service of God. And that's the kind of good man that we need today. It's my prayer and has been my prayer. You will remember from our studies in the book of Ezra during the prayer meetings immediately after I came to this church, we were emphasizing that we needed a given people, a people who were given by God to this church for the work. And at that time I said, we want to see this work grow. We want to see this church expand. But I am not on an operation to mop up all the malcontents merely from every other church. I am not on an operation to try and steal people from other churches. I am asking God to give us a people who are God's gift to this church. In my prayer that God will give us good men. Good men. They certainly are in very, very short supply. He was a good man. He was also a great man. I want you to notice what it says in verse 23. So easy to overlook it. When he came, now I want you to get the picture, he came from Jerusalem. He came from the mother church. He came with full authority of Christ's apostles. And he came to this place, Antioch, where there was a revival and there wasn't an apostle in sight and there wasn't an ordained preacher in sight. What does he do? Does he come and censor them like so many high church people would do today and say, where's your ordained preacher? Does he come and take them apart and critically look for every point upon which he could come down hard upon them? Ah, no, he looks beyond the people and he looks beyond the preachers. He looks beyond himself and he says, this is the work of God. And I want you to notice what it says. He was glad. Now, that's a great man. A man who can rejoice in the workings of the Holy Ghost when he had nothing to do with it. A man who can rejoice in the workings of God through other people, even though there is no credit to himself in the matter. A man who can say, the work of God is greater than party. The work of God is greater than denomination. The work of God is greater than church name tag. The work of God for the honor of Jesus' name is all that matters. And can rejoice in the work of God. That is a great man. And I tell you, him are in short supply. Great men are in even shorter supply. What do we find among God's people today? We find the old problem that raised itself among Christ's disciples. You remember John said, Lord, these people are casting out devils in your name, but they follow not us. The biggest denomination in Christendom today is the denomination of the Usites. And you could be Paul the Apostle. If you're not of us, we're against you. If you don't dot every doctrinal I and every doctrinal T, and if you don't, or cross the T's, you don't dot the T's even in America, and if you don't go along with us in our particular little group and our little church, then we're against you. My friend, the cause of Jesus Christ is being put to shame today. It is being needlessly fragmented today. I don't need to labor this point. But we would need great men who have a burden for more than their own particular denomination and who have a burden for the work of God. I was praying about the Lord's blessing in the future of this church. I believe the Lord has a future for this church. So you just stick with it and you'll see what God's going to do. But I was thinking, say we had 1,000 churches across America. Now that's 500 more than we have at the moment. 500 times what we have at the moment. 998 more than what we have at the moment. So we're talking about big growth. Say we had 1,000 churches across America. With 1,000 people in every one of them. Just think of that. And then ask yourself, what would we have? You'd still have 200 million people untouched. You ever think of it? And when I got to praying about that and thinking about that, I realized, Lord, I believe there is a place for the Free Presbyterian Church in America. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in America. I have nothing against the place. I enjoy being in the place. But I would only be here at God's call. I got to think, Lord, there's a place for us here. But the work of God is bigger than this denomination can ever be. And the work of God is bigger than any denomination can ever be.
And the sooner God's people get down to basics and get to be good men and great men and who are rejoicing in the work of God, not merely in the work of a denomination, the sooner that happens, the better it will be for America.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.